Palm Sunday seems like an early celebration before Easter, doesn't it? It's an odd day, maybe, a day of joy and excitement and celebration. It's as if we pretend that it's not still Lent, that Good Friday isn't coming up so soon, that all we have to look forward to is the Easter joy of resurrection coming this time next Sunday. I think that's part of the reason that it's become the practice to also include the Passion reading in today's service. Both for people unable to attend Good Friday, and possibly also because we feel like we're celebrating too early today, that we ought to hold it off until next week. The people back there in Jerusalem didn't know better. They didn't know what happened next, but we do. Maybe we try to put ourselves in their place, to feel their excitement and celebration, even with what's coming Thursday and Friday. Today, Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. There's a buzz in the air about his miracles. One of the latest ones is what we read about in John chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. The word about this was being spread far and wide, and since Lazarus lived so close to Jerusalem, in a town just a couple of miles away, the whole city had heard all about it. And there were plenty of people there to hear the story. It was the time of the Passover. The usual population was swelled by many thousands, probably tens of thousands of visitors from all over Israel, and even Jews from all across the Mediterranean world who had flocked back to the holy city to celebrate the holy day and offer their sacrifices at the temple in Jerusalem. When we read that there were large crowds there when Jesus arrived, it's not an exaggeration. In fact, it sounds a bit like Mardi Gras. Many thousands of visitors filling the city, and even a parade thrown in for good measure. What a great parade that must have been, Jesus riding into Jerusalem with thousands of people shouting for him. Of course, people around here love a good parade, Mardi Gras especially, but there were recently some St. Patrick's Day parades and the Christmas parade, and I'm sure others during the course of the year. It's just not a real public celebration without some floats rolling through and beads getting thrown around, right? There was a story a couple of weeks back, just before Mardi Gras, about how many beads and such got cleaned out of the New Orleans sewer and drainage system. It's a truly mind-boggling amount, some 93,000 pounds pulled out of just one five-block stretch of St. Charles Avenue. But there were no beads thrown that Palm Sunday. It was a victory parade, the king arriving in triumph and glory in his capital city. He doesn't come with beads or doubloons or cups or any other throws. There were no shouts of, "Throw me something, mister." Instead, the crowd is looking for something bigger. Their shouts are Hosanna, the Hebrew word which means save us now, save us, Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we remember the words of the prophet Zechariah, "Rejoice greatly, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey. He will speak peace to the nations, he will rescue the prisoners, he will rule from sea to sea, to the ends of the earth. The king is here. He comes with justice and salvation, with peace and joy. The king is coming to be crowned, to inaugurate his kingdom." That's what we see happening eventually, and it seems like that's what the people expected that day. But the rest of the week was going to go very differently. We see now, in hindsight, how this triumphant Palm Sunday entry was going to lead to Christ's glory. But in a profoundly different way than the expectations of that crowd for their Messiah. They wanted a king in Jerusalem. They wanted the Romans out. They wanted a return to the glory days under King David a millennium before. And what they got was a king who was mocked and beaten, who hung on a cross. Maybe this whole Palm Sunday victory parade was a bit of a premature celebration. The next week the Romans were still there. Even knowing the resurrection that came soon after, there's still the betrayal of Thursday. The suffering and the humiliation of Friday. But we're still left with the fact that the celebration seems premature. There's plenty of examples of that, too. There are lengthy video compilations of various athletes who start to celebrate what looks like the perfect shot or the perfect play, then in mid-celebration realize that it didn't happen after all. There's also the famous headline from the 1948 presidential election. Harry Truman was re-elected, but the premature headline read, "Dewey defeats Truman." Premature celebration indeed. By the end of that holy week, nearly everyone's plans were shaken and disrupted. The victorious king seems to have dropped the ball. Dewey has defeated Truman after all. Our guy, who we celebrated in his royal processional parade into town, is now hanging on a cross at the city gate. That Friday had to be the most incredible letdown and disappointment. Now, we all know about letdown and disappointment and premature celebration in our own lives. Perhaps we feel deep down that we're the ones who aren't good enough to follow through till the end, that we're going to drop the ball when others are depending on us. And that can carry over into thinking that, well, no one else can really be depended on either, not our family, nor our friends, or our government, or anyone. There's a great deal of distrust these days, all the doubt, the cynicism at fake news and deception, the hopelessness of really trusting. We know from experience that even when victory seems within our grasp, it can all evaporate. A fading friendship seems revitalized one week, only to be worse than ever the next. The euphoria when your candidate wins the election wears off within a couple of months when your day-to-day life is no different, the campaign promises long forgotten. An illness in remission one year surges back with a vengeance the next. Too many victories and celebrations in our lives turn out in the long run to seem premature. So is today's celebration on Palm Sunday, before Easter, before the Thursday betrayal, before the Friday death, is this celebration just one more in a list of premature ones? In fact, no. Our King has come to us answering the prayer of Hosanna with the salvation he brings. Each year we prepare for Easter, and with each moment in the Word of Scripture we are more and more prepared to understand this resurrection. With each time we share that word with others, the whole world is more prepared to celebrate Easter. The King is coming into his glory. When Jesus rides into Jerusalem because of the witness about him from those who have seen and heard about the miracle with Lazarus, this grand parade begins to welcome him to the city. When we bear witness about him and what Jesus has done for our salvation, rejoicing is always appropriate, never premature. When we understand why he really came to Jerusalem that day, then we are truly ready for Easter. See, later this week we hear some other examples of premature celebrations during Holy Week. Was it time for Jesus' opponents, the chief priests at the temple, to celebrate when he's handed over to Pontius Pilate to be crucified? What about when he was nailed to the cross, when the spear pierced his side, when he was laid dead in a tomb? Surely that was time for his opponents to begin their celebration. Their goal was to rid themselves of this Jesus problem. By the time he's dead, surely that's not premature. By the end of Holy Week, it seems like God's people celebrated all too soon. On Holy Saturday, the day Jesus rested and lay dead in the tomb, all that's left of the Palm Sunday victory parade is a memory and a sadness scattered like the brown leftover palm branches they waved. Like so many tons of beads caught in the New Orleans sewer. But Jesus gets the last word. Beyond all hope or expectation, even death itself is not the end, nor the defeat that it appears to be. If his enemies celebrated that Saturday as Jesus lay in the tomb, it most certainly was premature. The shout for Palm Sunday is Hosanna, save us, Lord. That's what Jesus was doing. His entry was a triumphant one. Not because he was claiming David's throne to rule the nation, but because he was going there to the cross. He was going to fulfill that prayer of the people, save us. He was going to prepare for us his death and his resurrection for our sake, for our salvation. On Palm Sunday, we do have reason to celebrate, and it is by no means a premature joy, even while Good Friday is still staring us in the face. We celebrate because God does in Christ what he promised in his word. Your King has come to you, righteous and having salvation. So rejoice greatly. He is here to answer the prayer, Hosanna, save us. Blessed indeed is the coming kingdom of our Lord, and blessed is Jesus, he who comes in the name of the Lord. He has come to answer the prayer and to save us. We rejoice today, not in spite of what is coming on Friday, because our joy is restored at Easter, but we rejoice because of what happens on Friday. For it is there we find the glory of our King on display and the salvation he came to bring his people. Jesus gets the last word. Now may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ guard your hearts and minds until we see him come again in glory as we celebrate his resurrection this week, his passion, his death, his salvation for us. Amen.